If you are a Christian coach, speaker, or influencer, this is the right place. You're listening to the Keep Writing Podcast, a resource for biblical encouragement, spirit-led wisdom, and practical ideas as you answer God's calling to increase your authority by becoming an author. I'm Nika Maples, and I can help you write your next book so that you can take your business to the next level while advancing the kingdom and transforming people in Jesus' name. Thank you for tuning in to this mini series, Unpopular Opinions That Nika May Be Thinking at Any Given Point in Time. Hey, that's the luxury of having a podcast, is I can share whatever I want to share on it. And you have the luxury of listening or not listening as you choose. But I hope that you will consider some of the things I'm saying, pray about it, listen with Holy Spirit-led ears, and wonder if maybe this applies to you or is right for you to adopt as an opinion. Today, the opinion I want to share with you is that Christians would be better off not referring to karma. Now, I know Taylor Swift has recently made it very popular to talk about karma. She has a song about karma. And ironically, she even says in the song, karma is a god, which, okay, I know you may like Taylor Swift a good deal, but she's telling the truth in ways that you do not want to mess with. Yes, karma is related to idolatry. Let's talk about where this idea came from. Karma originates in Hinduism and Buddhism and is understood as the sum of a person's actions. In this and previous states of existence, which of course refers to reincarnation, and karma is viewed as deciding their fate in future existences. One common idiom is we say, what goes around comes around. And that's a pretty harmless way of referring to this idea that the things we do often come back to us. They make a difference in our lives, the way that we treat others. The golden rule, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. And the golden rule is a great thing to simply teach kids as they are developing in their character, that you need to be careful the way you treat others and put yourself in their shoes. That is still not the same as the Hindu or Buddhist idea of karma, which has to do with reincarnation, which of course is not true. It is not truth. It has nothing to do with reality, that God made you as one individual image bearer. If you've given your life to Christ, He has filled you with the Holy Spirit. You're not coming back as another person later, and you're not coming from previous existences. You are one individual whose soul needs to be or has been saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's not done for you in all your lives. There's no such thing. It's done for your one life on this earth and into the hereafter with eternal life. So karma doesn't even apply to Christians, but to pull it into pop culture and say, oh, well, what I mean by that is you'll get what's coming to you, or what goes around comes around. To me, Christians do not need to pull terminology that is rooted in idolatry. We're not so short on vocabulary that we need to pull in ideas that come from the worship of other gods. So Taylor Swift is revealing something in her lyrics when she says karma is a god. It's rooted in evil. There are evil spirits behind this idea, and Christians should have nothing to do with it. I could say that's my unpopular opinion, although I do believe in this case, we're leaning more toward fact. This is what God says. You should have no other gods before me. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's the basis, the foundation of our belief. It's that there is one God and one God only. And there's no reason to pull from other ideologies. Here's the thing anyway. Satan is not original. He is not creative. Only the creator is creative. That's God himself. Jesus created the world. It is the Holy Spirit, breath of life that animates all of life. He is the creator, but the enemy is the counterfeiter. He will take what God has done and turn it into a twisted version that we think somehow sounds better than the original. That's so interesting that our twisted versions of things sometimes are more enticing than the original. Have you ever noticed that grape candy tastes nothing like real grapes, or watermelon candy really tastes nothing like real watermelons? But because they're so infused with high concentrated flavor, these additives and so much sugar, sometimes we prefer the piece of candy over the milder version that is the piece of fruit. In the same way, we as Christians can become distracted by the counterfeit that Satan offers, and the original idea that the creator put forth loses a little bit of its luster. Yeah, I want to draw your attention to the thing that karma is impersonating. Every God is not all powerful like our Jehovah God. It can only impersonate. It only has the power that is ceded to it, the authority that is turned over and given to it. So there's no reason to be afraid of false gods. We just need to know, where is this even coming from? If Satan is counterfeiting this idea of the golden rule of what of do unto others as you would have them do to you, of what goes around comes around, where is the original? The original I found is in the words of Jesus in one of his amazing, powerful sermons in Luke chapter 6. I'm going to read it to you. I want you to hear this idea that Satan is counterfeiting by calling it karma. Starting in verse 37 of chapter 6, Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you will be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." I'll pause right there. I am going to read more, but I'm going to pause right there. That right there is the principle that God put into place. It's a law of measurement. It says, don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. In good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Whether it's positive, like forgiveness, or negative, like condemnation, whatever you are dishing out will be given to you. That's what Satan is counterfeiting. It has nothing to do with previous lives or future lives. God's saying, hey, your life is affected by what you do. It is a supernatural principle. So that means it comes into play, maybe not in the same year that you do it, not in the same time frame, and not from the same person. You could dish something out and then receive the same measurement, say, 5 years later. You could dish something out and receive the same measurement from a completely unrelated person because it's a supernatural principle. God has declared it. He set it into motion. He's decreed it. And the universe obeys God. That's when people talk about the universe. I ask the universe this, or I put this forth to the universe. I'm like, the universe is nothing but obedient to God. The universe has no authority. He gave the authority to us. God gave the authority to his masterpiece. The universe itself, meaning all of creation, is in obedience to God and also in many ways in obedience to us, in the parts that we have been given dominion over. That was God's original plan and design anyway, was to give us dominion over the earth. He said, fill it, subdue it, take dominion. So this idea of being careful with how you treat others, that's God's idea. And he did set things into motion. And it's very, very good news, especially if you are a Christian writer or speaker. Here's why that's good news for you. Because you may think, I'm serving, I'm ministering, I'm making an effort to contribute wisdom and ideas and lessons and insights to the world, and I'm not seeing a return. Oh, but you will. You will. You don't know the way in which it will return to you. It may not be in the exact way that you're expecting. So a lot of times we put encouragement out into the world through a book and we expect that the return would be monetary. Sometimes it is. In other times, it's something else. But rest assured, you will be given a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap. I love that picture. Poured into your lap. Like you can't even contain it. Something poured into my lap is almost like, oh man, I don't even know what to do with it because it's running over. I don't even have a container. I need a container. I want to hold it in my hands or in a bowl or in a cup. It's going to be poured out all over you. Your anointing will be poured out all over you. And it may be that what comes back to you is even sweeter than monetary reward. Maybe it's more encouragement, the opportunity, but you can trust. This is an immutable principle. God has put into place this law of recurring measurement. What you do, what you give to others, for better or worse, will be given to you. So I'll read that again and then continue for the rest of the passage. Back up to 37. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take this speck out of your eyes," when you fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Wow. You could do a deep dive and meditate on this whole passage for a long time. Jesus is revealing to us the way the world works and what he has set into place. And it's amazing when you actually stop and say, I'm going to believe what Jesus said about things. Then you reap the benefit of it. Recently, I saw that I had some judgment. This whole passage is a lot about judgment. I had some judgment toward someone and I felt the Lord saying, hey, explore this with me. And I'm going to give you this practical tip. If you want to know, okay, well, how do I handle something like this? This is what I do. It's so simple. It seems like it would be counterproductive. It's so simple. It seems like it would not really have a powerful effect. But I'm telling you, this is the most amazing, productive, effective spiritual exercise I've ever done. The Lord said, I want you to spend 30 days. Set a timer for 15 to 30 minutes every day. Non-negotiable. No more than 30, no less than 15. Non-negotiable. And you're just going to journal what you feel toward this person every day for 30 days. I have done this particular exercise twice with like two different situations, two different people, completely unrelated. And both times the results have been phenomenal. I started off the month really regaling all the reasons that I had for being mad at this person. All the reasons I was hurt, all the things that they had done. Basically, it was like a massive like expose on the sawdust in their eye. I was revealing it. Well, I'm telling you, not one weekend, both times I did this, not one weekend, the Lord started revealing to me what was in my own eye. And the last part of the month, the majority of the month, was spent doing log surgery on my own eye rather than a sawdust expose on my friend. Here's the thing. God wants access to you. You got to give him the access because he knows, listen, what goes around really does come around. And it's not a Hindu or Buddhist belief. It's not the counterfeit God that the enemy wants you to think it is. It's not karma. It is the immutable principle of the law of measurement. I said it in the mouth of Jesus himself that what you measure to others will be measured to you, and it will be poured out into your lap for better or worse. So you better be careful about judgment. He's talking about all things here, but he's especially talking about judgment. And he's saying, listen here, be careful when you point your finger because three fingers are always pointing back at you. And you start doing the sawdust expose, we're going to end up in log surgery every time. But what a gift. What a gift. Because I have experienced more freedom than ever before in my life because I allowed God access through this point of pain, through this hurt caused me by another person. I mean, it's real. But in the end, God was like, that pales in comparison to the things that I can renew and regenerate and restore and redeem in you. Let's focus on that. And I was set free from the bondage of unforgiveness, resentment, and bitterness. And I'm walking in so much joy and peace. So instead of borrowing words from false religions, let's just stick with the words of our great rabbi, Jesus, and say, whatever measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Those are the only words we need. Believe it. And then allow God to do a little log surgery on you. Invite him in. And it begins, sure, it begins with really talking about your pain point and the reason you feel like you are justified in holding something against someone else. But in the end, he's going to set you so free, it won't even matter anymore. Doesn't mean that you condone what the other person has done. It's just that you don't condemn them and you allow God to be the ultimate judge so that he can work on them and bring about the beautiful restoration and redemption that he longs for in that child. So let him have access to you. Let go of worldly ways of explaining how life works. Just enjoy the process of becoming spiritually mature, letting him discipline you along the way. He only disciplines those he loves. If you are desiring to write a book but find yourself getting stuck over and over again, it may be because you don't even know what kind of book you want to write. I've got a great quiz for you that'll help you figure out what type of book is best for you. Go to nikamaples.com/quiz and answer the quick questions that will give you an idea of the type of book that would be best for you to write, and you'll be so glad you have some direction. I explain 4 major types of books, and you'll walk away with a better understanding of yourself and the next steps for writing your book. We'll talk soon. Until then, keep writing. Are you subscribed to my YouTube channel yet? I love creating weekly lessons that will bring value and insight to you on your writing, publishing, and book marketing journey. When you listen to my podcast, you learn through your ears. But when you watch my YouTube channel, you learn through your eyes and your ears, making double the impact in half the time. See you over on YouTube.